I'm not sure exactly where we're going to get to today, so we'll see how far we can get. But I'll tell you what I do want to try to deal with. As we've noticed many times, Chazal work with a theory which we have called the theory of conservation of characters. The one who wrote about this was Tzvi Hirsch Chias, that there's probably two parts of it. Good people are very good people, and bad people are very bad people. So people keep to character. And then when you have the same kind of character, then you say a theory of conservation of character, it all turns out to be the same person. So we're going to do a little investigation about this regarding two related characters, or I assume related characters, in this week's parasha. So let's begin with the first one in source number one. Vayomer Moshe lechovav ben Reuel ha-Midyani chotein Moshe. Moshe says to Chovav ben Reuel ha-Midyani chotein Moshe, Nosim anachnu el ha-makom asher amar Hashem oto otein lachem l'chaitonu v'itavnu lach ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. So before I started, somebody asked a question that they wanted to know: what exactly did Moshe want? Why was Moshe reaching out at this point? Now, first of all, I can answer this on the most basic level, say that Moshe felt that this is family, and he wanted his family to join him. He wanted them to be a part of it, and therefore he turns and he asks them to come. So, as I said, I think it certainly makes sense on that level. There may be another deeper point, and that is when we look at the Haftorah begins, Rani v'simchi bat Zion, hinenu va v'shachanti b'tocheich ne'um Hashem, v'nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem b'yom ahu, v'yuli la'am v'shachanti b'tocheich v'yadati ki Hashem tzachot shelani elech. That part of the Messianic vision is that all kinds of nations of the world are going to join us, meaning that's part of the end of days prophecy. So I could answer you that whoever decided to juxtapose this Haftorah with this laning, and there are other reasons to connect this Haftorah, but I think that most of them do speak about a potential for a messianic era, especially the appearance and then later on the disappearance of Zerubbabel. By the way, we spoke about this a number of years ago, that Zerubbabel is somebody who is theoretically a messianic figure in the beginning of the second Beit HaMikdash, and then he just completely disappears. And it could be that that's what's felt over here, this messianic opportunity. I'll put it this way. We've also spoken in the past about there being multiple books in Sefer Bamidbar. That we have the first 10 chapters, and then we have the two psukim, which are in parentheses in a sense, and then we have from chapter 11 onward. If you notice, the first 10 chapters, everything is poised and prepared to go towards Eretz Yisrael. Matter of fact, the whole book of Bamidbar has all kinds of negative chapters in it, all kinds of negative episodes in it. What did we call the book of Bamidbar? Spies, subversives, and other scoundrels. That's what I called my book on Bamidbar. And it's a very good description, because take a look at all these terrible things and people and so on that are there. But none of them are there in the first 10 chapters. In the first 10 chapters, everything's positive, which means in the first 10 chapters, we are preparing to march towards the land of Israel, and it's wonderful. What may be very appropriate is chapter 11 is where things go bad. We go chapter 11, if you will. That's the beginning of this incredible descent. So it could be part of what the Haftorah is picking up on is the possibility which existed as we end chapter 10. I mean, the tragedy. And this is pointed out by Rashi, and it's pointed out by the Ramban, and it's pointed out by the Sfarno, and it is black and white in the Sifri, that Moshe believes at this point that we're going to the land of Israel. Black and white, Chazal say, Nosim Anachnu, we're going to the land of Israel. It says, doesn't Moshe know, it's a very funny Sifri, it says, doesn't Moshe know that it was already written, and he quotes the Pasuk when God takes Moshe and Sefer Devarim, and takes him to the top of the mountain, and says, go take a look at the land, because you're not crossing the border. Doesn't Moshe know that about it already? It's written in the Torah. Moshe should know this. So the Sifri answers, no. He didn't know that yet. Of course he didn't know it yet. Moshe still thinks he's going to the land of Israel, which then presents this wild possibility, which Chazal speak about, what would have happened if Moshe went in. And the answer is, if Moshe goes in, then arguably we enter into the Messianic Age. And if we enter the Messianic Age, then it makes a lot of sense to call the non-Jews of the world and come and join us. This is it. This is the end of age of the age. So I'm saying, just like the Haftorah here picks up on that thing, v'nilvu, goyim rabim, you will be accompanied by all kinds of nations. So here we have, again, as I said, perhaps that is how the Haftorah, or as Chazal took this Haftorah and juxtaposed it to our Parsha, maybe that's how they understand this invitation that Moshe sets out to Chovev ben Ruel Hamidyani. But as I said, I don't have to work that hard. I can say that this is on a personal level that Moshe is turning around and inviting his family. He's inviting his father-in-law to come and says, come, it's time to go. So as I said, I think that Vinilvu Goyim Rabim already points towards that direction. I think that's what Chazal is trying to say, and that's what they noticed over here. According to what I would consider to be the dominant opinion, Moshe wrote the entire Torah before he died. Or you can say that he wrote sections by section, but he didn't write things before they happened. The only thing you can argue that he wrote before it happens is the last couple of verses that describe his death. That's the only thing the Gemara entertains as a possibility that he wrote before it happened. There's two opinions in the Gemara, Megillot, that he wrote it in sections after those sections happened, or he wrote the whole thing at one time, but that's at the very end of his life. And that's the position the Rambam takes. At the very end of his life. I mean, nobody says, as far as I know, I've never seen anybody try to make a claim that when Moshe woke up in the morning, he opens up the chumash and says, okay, what do I do today? Today I hit the rock? So he goes and he hits the rock. I mean, I don't understand anybody can say such a thing. Because, again, if it's predetermined he has to do it, then why should he be punished for it? Then it's not his fault. Right? If he knows about it, then why would he do it? I'm just saying is that you get yourself into a theological nightmare. And it seems to me completely unsupported by the sources. Right. So it's a good question what the Einayim means in this case. But it could be, by the way, let's go back for a second. You're forcing me to get way ahead of myself. But part of the question is going to be, what was the answer? Okay? I think that's part of the question. What did he answer? Did he answer yes or no? Let me use a modern day example. In the Israeli army, most of the trackers are Druze. Why do they use Druze as trackers? They're the ones who they check the sand by the border, see if it was a person who crossed, it was an animal who crossed. Most of them are Druze. The whole units of Druze, and they're Druze trackers, and they check in to see why do they use Druze for this and not some kid from Ramat Gan. They have a certain connection to the land. I can say the Yilenu Leinayim. You'll be our scouts. You'll be the ones who will check. Why? Because these are people who have some kind of connection. But what's interesting about this is if you would ask the Druze where they come from, they would say they're descendants of Yitro.
Yes.
So that should be interesting. The person here who's identified, he's identified as Chovav ben Uel Hamidyani Chotein Moshe. Have we ever met him before? So let's go back and take a look who we have met. My father likes to expand upon a midrash that perhaps we will see soon, working with the theory of conservation of characters, will tell us that Yitro had seven names, right? According to the Torah, he has seven daughters. So my father claimed that after each marriage, he went bankrupt and he had to change his name in order to get loans afterwards for the next daughter. But even that observation is still working with the same theory of conservation of character. So this is, are these people the same people? So let's just take a look and see if this is something which is a supportable hypothesis or something which is a difficult hypothesis. So when we first meet him is in source number 2. Vayishma Moshe et hadavar hazeh v'keish l'harog et Moshe. So Paro hears what had happened, and he wants to kill Moshe. Vayivrach Moshe b'pnei Paro v'yeshev be'eretz Midyan v'yeshev ala be'er. And he goes to the land of Midyan, and he goes to the well. We find a number of people who meet their beloved by the well. I don't know why no one doesn't open up a bar and call it the well, you know. And by the way, who is Midyan? Yafeh. Midyan is the son of Avraham. Later on, we're told that Avraham has Pilag Shot, and he has other children. One of the children of Avraham is Midyan. So there is an interesting, distant family relationship over here. I mean, the same way that Yaakov, actually it's not the same way, because it's more distant over here. But when Yaakov goes back to family, and he finds somebody who's essentially his cousin by the well. So again, that's coming from the same family. Over here, Moshe coming and meeting up with the family of Midian, this is a distant relative. This is somebody who there is some connection with. And maybe most importantly, this is not one of the B'nai Cham who will one day be expelled from the land of Israel. This is one of the families of Midian who comes from Avraham. Basically, what we have, a Shem family versus a Cham family. Well, the Kohen Midian, by the way, did not tell us the name yet, and the first thing it describes is us in terms of a position. Ula Kohen Midian Sheva Banot. Who is the person previously described as a Kohen? Melchi Tzedek is a Kohen. Who else is a Kohen? Which is a better parallel to this. But of course, once again, there we don't remember, because over there as well, we play the game of the theory of conservation of characters. Who does Yosef marry? Right. So he is in Potiphar's house, but later on he marries Osnat Bat Potiphera Kohen On. So now, in both of these cases, did both Moshe and Yosef marry daughters of priests? Or does the word Kohen, meaning, let me put it this way, I'll rephrase it, does it have a religious connotation, or does it have political connotation? Does the Kohen mean somebody who's in charge, and therefore a political statement, or does it mean somebody who is a religious individual? So let's see what we learn about him when we meet him here for the first time. The first thing we introduce is Kohen Midian, but as far as we're concerned, that may be a position. That's a job. He's the Kohen Midian. What don't we know? We don't know religious or just political. Ula Kohen Midian, and we don't know his name yet. Ula Kohen Midian Sheva Banot. So here is where we do learn that, in fact, when the Chazal tell us that he had seven names, that the seven names really does parallel to an extent the seven daughters that he has. Vatavona vatidlena vatamalena etaratim lashkot tzonavim. We have Oroim vayir garshum, which is interesting just in terms of the name, which will come later on. Vayaka Moshe vayishian vayesh etzonam. Here is Moshe's first job as a savior. Yes, a moment ago. Right, a moment. Well, here doesn't use the word saving. Over here we have Moshe as a savior. Earlier, Moshe did, in fact, save the Jew from the beating of the Egyptian, but over here we find Moshe as a savior. Vatavona el Ruel Avin, and they go to, now we have his name. What's his name? Reuel. Vayoma Madu Mihartim Boayom. Why did you come here so quickly? But Tomarna, they said, Ish Mitzri Tzilanu Miyad Roim. And they said, an Egyptian man, which by the way, Chazal do not like at all, but I don't know why it's Moshe's fault. Moshe was born and raised in Egypt. They don't. Again, they contrast it with Yosef. Yosef is always called the Nar Ivri, and Moshe's called Ish Mitzri. And Chazal say that's why Yosef was able to be buried back in the land of Israel, because he's a Nar Ivri. And this is why Moshe, going all the way back to this point, and this is why Moshe couldn't be buried in Israel, because he's defined as an Ish Mitzri, which is very, very harsh from Chazal, but they take it all the way back to this point over here, which obviously needs to be explained. And they said, an Egyptian man saved us. And he went and meaning the father says, why are you home so soon? They said, an Egyptian man came. Like, where? I mean, a man? The guy's got seven daughters. There's a man? You let him go? Like, what is the matter with you? What's etaish? Bring him home. Let's break bread. So it's truly spoken as a man with seven daughters and no prospects, apparently. And Moshe seems to become accustomed and comfortable to live with this man, which is very funny. Moshe living with the non-Jewish, perhaps, priest in a religious context, and that's called Vayol Moshe. So it's interesting that the Satmar Rebbe would call his book Vayol Moshe. Then again, it's interesting that they would call Satmar, which, okay. Right. There's an argument what Vayol means. If there's a language of some kind of vow involved in this, or if it just means a level of comfort was achieved. Vayol Moshe l'shevet ish. Moshe became accustomed and comfortable living there. V'teled ben v'ikrat shmo gershom, ki amar ger hayiti beretz nochriya. as I said, it's interesting, but you're assume that he chased away the other. But the name that is given is Ger Hayiti Be'eretz Nochriya. Okay, full pause over here. So what was the name of Moshe's father-in-law? He's described first as Kohen Midian, and afterwards, later on, he's called Haish. And at some point, when they come, they say Ru'el Avihem. Now that poses a little bit of a problem, because how is he described over here in our first source? He's described as Chovav ben Ramad, you know, Chotein Moshe, unless somehow Chotein doesn't mean father-in-law, unless it means brother-in-law, right? Which would be a possibility, but that would be based upon the presumption that Reuel is in fact the name of his father-in-law. So hold on to that for a second. Source number three. Okay. So Chovev would end up being the brother-in-law. Source three. Vayelech Moshe v'yashav el yeter chotno. So then we find when Moshe goes back, he goes to his name is here called Yeter. Vayomer lechana vashuva elachai asher mitzrayim ve'ereha adam chayim vayomer Yitro leMoshe lech leshalom. So here we have two more names, although it could be that you would say that Yitro and Yeter are obviously much closer related. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but Yitro, our possible convert, has, at least in the name Yitro, has three of the same letters as Rut. And if we call her Ruti, then it has all four of the same letters. but let's say Rut first, I take Rut. So Resh is 200 and Tuf is 400, 600. So together with the 6 is 606, and you add the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, and then you have Taryag. So as I said, if you had nothing else to do on Shavuot, then hopefully that. But it is interesting that Yitro and Rut, which have nothing to do with names of one another, do have similar letters. Rashi in source 4, surely going back to your question, Vayeshevel al Yeter Chotno Litor Rishut Shrei Nishbalo, because he had sworn. So Rashi understands back, Vayoel Tish, that he made a vow to him. What exactly is the vow is subject to difference of opinion. Visheva Shemot Hayulo Ru'el Yeter Yitro Keni Chovav Chever Putiel. So here, Rashi is telling us that this man has seven names, again, based upon the Midrash, and therefore Reuel and Yitro are the same person. Yeter and Yitro are the same person. That was easy. Yitro and Reuel are the same person. So that was easy. But exactly how does Chovav and Reuel become the same person when Chovav is described as the Ben Reuel? So that's where we run into a little bit of a problem. Look at the Rashbam, source 5, El Reuel. This goes back to source number 2. Remember it says, Vatavona El Reuel Avihim. They went back to Reuel. Reuel Avi Avihim. The name of the grandfather was Reuel. In Cain, Shem Avihim Yitro. V'chovav ben Reuel ha'amor lefaneinu hu chovav hu Yitro. V'imruel hu Yitro imken ben Yitro haya. Ma shekatuv ben Avihim mibnei chovev chotein Moshe mochiach shechovev hu Yitro. Shemakom mokom shemaskir chotein Moshe maskir Yitro. So he says that every time it describes the chotein, it again does go back to the diptych on that one, but he says that every time it's Yitro, so we see that Rashi and the Rashbam resolve the problem in two different ways. Rashi resolves the problem theory of conservation of characters. These are all the same people. And we can't wait to see what Rashi is going to say by Chovev ben Reuel, because Rashi is telling us they're the same person. On the other hand, the Rashbam does not see that as a viable alternative. So he therefore will explain back in that source number 2, but Tavona El Reuel Avihen doesn't mean their father, literally means their grandfather. Which, by the way, is not necessarily the easiest point either. The Ibn Ezra in source 6, Vatavona Reuel Avi Avihen Haya, Ki Yitro Haya Chotno, Vuhu Chovav, Ktiv Mibnei Chovav Chotein Moshe, Viktiv Lechovav Ben Reuel Hamidyani. So the Ibn Ezra goes in the same direction as the Rashbam. Both of them do not go for the seven name theory. Could be six, but they don't go for the all seven names. The most famous time the name is used, I hope you'll agree with me, source number 7. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Chotein Moshe. And why would that be the most famous time? because then he gets a parsha named after him. Although it's pretty funny, because if he's called Reuel, but the name of the parsha is Yitro, Bishma Yitro Kohen Midian. Now, when you say Yitro Kohen Midian Chotein Moshe, what do you now have to say? What do you have to say in terms of Yitro and Chovav being the same? What do you say about Yitro and Reuel being the same person now? I want to go back again. I also want to, at the same time, just open up another possibility, simply to bother all of us over here. And we'll come back to this in a moment, because this is again going to be an example where our minds may play tricks on us. Source number 10, which is also in this week's parsha. Vatidaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe, alodot ha'isha ha'kushit asher lakach, ki isha kushit lakach. Miriam and Aaron spoke regarding Moshe, regarding the isha kushit that he had taken, for he had taken me isha kushit. Vayomru harakach b'Moshe diber Hashem, holo gam banu diber, v'yishma Hashem, v'yish Moshe, Anav me'od mikol adam asher al pnei adamah. Very nice. Is this the same wife or is this a different wife? Did the Chumash just now identify who this is? Which means if this is the same wife and Moshe is only married to one person, then we only are searching for one possible father-in-law. But if Moshe is married to more than one person, then we may be looking for more than one father-in-law. So what I'm just raising right now as the question, is, does Moshe have one wife as far as we know, or does he have more than one wife? Over here, once again, all of those who will take the approach of the theory of conservation of characters will tell us quite clearly that this is the same person. Just look at source 11 for a moment. Rav Shimon Omer, Af Tzipora Patcha B'Dvar Mer Omer L'Miriam, B'Mimim Ala Aaron, V'Aaron Osif Al Divrayim, V'Nasu V'Nu B'Divrayim, U'Mayu Divrayim Omru, Kevan Shenitma Nu Azakenim, Hidliku Kol Yisro Neirot, V'Asu Simcha, B'Shvil Shalu Shivim Zakenim, L'Sra. Lucky are these people who now have been raised to the level of being appointed as the elders. Omer lot Tziporah. Tziporah said, "Al tamri ashrei nishotehim." Don't praise their wives so quickly. Elo oil nishotehim. Woe to their wives. Shemiyom shediber kodesh baruch hu Moshe achicha lo nizkakli. From the day that Moshe was spoken to by God, he's never been intimate with me again. So over here, what did the Midrash just do? This is Midrash Halacha. What did it just now do? It played that game of theory of conservation of characters. By the way, when I read the Pasuk again, did it just now tell me it's the same wife or a different wife? The Pasuk said, it's almost going out of the way not to tell us who it is. And if somebody wanted to argue here, this is a different wife, I don't know if that's such a difficult argument to make. So let's now pause for a second. That's why I told you we have two different identifications that we have to deal with here. One is Moshe's wife or wives, and two is Moshe's father-in-law or fathers-in-law. So the question now here is, how much leeway do we really have, and how much these problems are interrelated? Or, let's try again now, when we read source number 7, how clear are we as far as who this woman is? The Rashbam claimed no. But hold on for one second. Source number 7 is the same person as source number 2. How do I know that? Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan. The person being identified is identified as Kohen Midyan. What else do we know? Vayikach Yitro Choten Moshe et Tzipora. What's the name of the wife? Tzipora. So unless you're going to tell me, maybe Yitro and Reuel are two different people, and maybe Moshe had two wives named Tzipora, and maybe both of these people are both Kohen Midyan? So, I don't think so. Okay? This identification, Midyan, Kohen Midyan, Choten Moshe, and Tzipora, which means all of the identifying factors in source number 7, take us back to source number 3, and take us back to source number 2, and therefore suggest that we're talking about the same person, although we still have to consider the approach that the Rashbam took, and what was that? That perhaps Reuel and Yitro is the same person, or perhaps Reuel is the family, or the grandfather, and Yitro is, in fact, the son. But as I said, by the time we looked at all of these sources, by the time you got to number 7, you were quite sure now that number 3 and number 2 are in fact the same person, namely the father of Tzipora, the Kohen of Midian. What does Rashi say in number 8? Yitro, Sheva Shemot Nikrulo, Ruel, Yeter, Yitro, Chovav, Chever, Kinib, Putuel. Yet, meaning, and now he'll go into a little bit more. So therefore, what is Rashi doing once again? The theory of conservation of characters. These are all the same person. Yeter, Al Shem Sheyatar Parsha Achat B'Torah. Because he comes and he introduces this idea of dividing and giving the different shoftim roles that Moshe delegates, a new parsha of the Torah was added, but not just a parsha, it's even called, at least by us, called Parshat Yitro. So that's called Yeter, because something was added, because he added something. Chovav, Shechavav et Torah. So why is he called Chovav? Because he loved the Torah. Now that's interesting. So this guy who loved the Torah, what was his response back in our parsha in source number 1? Moshe says, come and join us. Why is he called Chovav? Because he likes the Torah. So does he join them? Does he not join them? Does he say yes? Does he say no? If we look in source number 1 in Pasuk Lamed, what did he say? Vayomer Elav, lo elech. I'm not coming. So therefore, as far as him liking the Torah, so what exactly happened over there? Because he seems to turn that. Although Moshe continues and he argues, Vayomer al tazov itanu. Moshe makes another play for it. So does he respond to that? Does he end up joining? Does he end up not joining? And at that point, the Torah is silent. It doesn't tell us what happened. We know he said no. We know that Moshe tries again. So how easy is it to say no to Moshe more than once? Back in source number 8 in Rashi, which was in bold, Yitro shenit gayer v'kiyem ha-mitzvot hosifu lo ot echad al shmo. Yeter is when he comes and he makes a suggestion. Yitro is because he converted. What happens when you convert? You get a new name. So he gets a new name and he gets a letter added to his name. Just like Avram gets a letter added to his name by his Brit Milah. So here Yitro comes and converts. And by the way, that would therefore have him Shenit Gayer. Rashi writes that he actually converts. And therefore, Chovav, Shechovav et Torah, V'chovav hu Yitro, Shenemar, and again, by the, I don't know if you've noticed this, but all of them keep going back to Shoftim, which means apparently at some point we're going to have to get to Shoftim, where it says, V'mnei Chovav Chotein Moshe. V'yesh Omrim, and here Rashi, for the first time, suggests what the Rashbam, what is the Einikol, had said earlier. But now we see that Rashi had said it as well. The Yesh Omrim, some suggest, Ru'el Aviv Shel Yitro Haya. Umahu Omer Vatavona El Ru'el Avihem Shatinokot Karim La'avi Avihem Abba. Misifri. So here he says that no, it could have been that maybe even though Rashi likes the seven daughters and the seven names and the seven, nonetheless, there is a possibility that he only has six names. And Reuel is the name of the grandfather and not of the father. Mechilta tells us that same idea. V'yishma Yitro, Sheva Shemot Nikrelo, Yeter Yitro Chovav Reuel Chaver Putiel, Kini, Yeter Shehutir Parshat Echad B'Torah, Yitro Sheiter B'Maasim Tovim. By the way, you notice that the difference between Yitro here versus how Rashi cited it. Rashi had that he converted. Over here, the Mechilta doesn't say convert. Chovav Shia Chaviv L'Makom. Not, what did it say in, or how did Rashi cite this? Like the Torah, here that he liked God. Which means the difference between what we're reading versus what Rashi cites it so far, Chaviv L'Makom. He's somebody who's a monotheist, he's somebody who perhaps Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, but the conversion so far is lacking here. Ru'el Shia Kireya L'Makom. By the way, think back at the name Reuel. Reuel, a friend of God. Reuel is the Kohen Midian. So here is somebody who may actually be a monotheist. Now how in the world did he become a monotheist in Midian? Where did that come from? Because he's a descendant of Avraham. And Avraham teaches his children monotheism. So therefore this Kohen Midian may very well have been a monotheist. He accepts that he is descendant of Avraham. And when Moshe shows up and he finds out who Moshe is, that this is somebody coming from Avram's family, like, again, once, yeah, sure, he's got seven daughters, bring the guy home, but once he finds out who this guy is, so then he, absolutely we need to make a bond based upon marriage over here, because this is not just family, which means, again, recognize that with all these limudim, Yeter, Yitro, Chavir, Reuel's the best one. Reuel, a friend of God. A friend of God who's Kohen Midian, so maybe this is no polytheist, right? Maybe this is in fact a monotheist. And that's something which we never expected. Can we all imagine that he is some Kohen Midian, he's some Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Moshe comes in and is Makar of him, right? Most likely, the first Shabbos came around, Moshe made some Cholent, and everybody knows that's the best way of doing Kiruv. So he becomes Furim based upon the Cholent, and that's it. But now we're reading, and again, there's a possibility that Reuel Kohen Midian. It's Midian. Again, this is not one of the seven Canaanite nations. This is somebody from Midian, from the family of Avraham, and that may be something very different. Of course, later on, we're not going to be happy with them. When they end up, instead of joining with us, they end up joining with Moab. And at that point, obviously, they go on the wrong side. But that doesn't mean that the entire tribe is off. They got afraid and they made the wrong decision. People or nations tend to do that. Continue. Chaver shenaser chaver lamakom. Putiel shenivtar mi avodah zarah. So here you have Putiel that he pushes away avodah zarah. But again, Putiel, what exactly does that mean? We do notice the name Putiel being used later on by Pinchas, and they say Ben Putiazer. The Midrash says that the idea that Pinchas kills Zimri must have come from non-Jewish sources. And Pinchas also comes from this family. Continue. Kani shekanalo shamayim vekanalo Torah. Dover acher, v'yishma yitro, mitchila lo yul korim lo ela yeter. Shenemar v'lech moshe v'yishava yeter chotno. Ukishasa masim tovim husifu lo otechad. V'chein amata motzi bi Avraham. So that, as I said before, is the interesting parallel. Because by Avram, it gets added when he has the Brit Milah, when he does mitzvot. Masim tovim, when he does mitzvot. V'nikarishmo Avram, v'chein atamotzi v'sarah, shemitchila ayu korim ota sarai, u'kishasta masim tovim, hosifu la'ot achad gdola, v'nikarishmo sarah. V'chein atamotzi v'yahushua, shemitchila ayu korim ota hosheya, So again, notice both of these sources in the Mechilta did not actually go. Again, you can say it's suggestive, but Yeshua takes it away. Right? You can say it suggests conversion, but it's not. It's Masim Tovim. So while Rashi read a conversion into this, it's just not here in the Mechilta, at least what we've seen so far. Kohen Midian, towards the end, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Komer haya, ki inyan shenemar shoftim, v'yonatan ben Gershom, ben Menashe, u'banav, v'yu kohanim l'shevet adni, ad galut ha'aretz. Wow, what an interesting reference to use that the word Kohen could be somebody's a Kohen for Avodah Zarah. What was his reference? His reference was Yonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe, which Chazal tells us is Moshe. This is Gershom ben Moshe, that he had a son who was just a son. You want to read all the psychological interpretations into it now. That Moshe has a grandson that doesn't feel so special. He doesn't feel so special because he doesn't inherit any leadership. And when there's a rebellion that takes place, this is connected with Pesel Micha, so he's the one who becomes the Kohen for Dan. Who do they choose? They choose a grandson of Moshe. And yes, according to this, there's a cover-up. What's the cover-up? Is that it doesn't write Moshe here, it writes Ben Menashe. But therefore, where does this Avodah Zarah come from? Where did the Avodah Zarah come from that Gershon had? Where does this Avodah Zarah come from that Yonatan Ben Gershon Ben Menashe come from? It comes back all the way back to Yitro, who is the Ovid of Avodah Zarah. So that's where it goes to. By the way, there is a teaching that by Yoel Moshe was a vow. What vow does Moshe make? A very difficult vow. His vow is that the firstborn son goes to the grandfather. And Yitro gets to raise him to become, he only has daughters, who's going to become the new priest? Who's going to inherit to become the Kohen Midian? So he makes a deal. The firstborn son stays with the grandfather, and that's the vow that by Yoel Moshe. So say that's the vow that Moshe makes, that he leaves Gershom to him, and then we end up finding that his son ends up becoming a Kohen. So it's fascinating that Rabbi Yeshua here brings that verse to back up that Kohen by Yitro meant an avoda, an oved avoda zara. Rabbi Elazar Amodai Omer Sarhaya. It means it was a political appointment. It wasn't a religious appointment. As it says, Bnei David Kohanim Hayu. They were people of power, people of stature, but not necessarily somebody of coming from a religious perspective. Moving now back to our, again, we have our little question, but I think that most of it, we're pretty confident now that despite the fact that different names have been used, I think we've narrowed it down at this point, that maximum that we're talking about is either the same person, or minimalist is that it's a father and a son, and Reuel is the name of the grandfather, and Yitro is the name of the son, but this is, all of them are the father of Tzipora, and not some other woman, which brings us back now to, so, who is this Isha Kushit? So, start with the end of Source 11, Alodota Isha HaKushit, V'chi Kushit Haita. By the way, notice, this source already told us that it was Tzipora. So again, this is working with the theory of conservation of characters, and this is Tzipora. V'chi Kushit Haita, V'lo Midyanit Haita. She's from Midyan. Elama Kushi Nikar B'ma'arav, Mikol Abriot, Kach Haita Tzipora Nikarit B'ma'arav Masim, Mikol Anashim. That she was so strikingly superior is why she's called Kushit. The Targum Onkelos is the first one who says black is beautiful. Mililat Miriam Varma Moshe Isak Iteta Shefirta. It translates Kushit as beautiful. Why? Dinasiv Are Iteta Shefirta Dinasiv Rachik. That Moshe married a beautiful woman. So here we have the first one who says black is beautiful, or is literally is synonymous of beautiful. Targum Yonatan in Source 13. The Sipur Miriam Varon b'Moshe b'Dvarim Shalom Mehuganim Alinyan Isha Kushit Shehisiu HaKushim LeMoshe B'Berchan Mit Lefnei Paro V'Girsha Kilisha Hisiu Et HaMalkasho Kush V'Girsha Mimenu. And this is a whole story how when Moshe ran away, the first place he got to was Kush, and he ended up marrying the princess of Kush, and he never had any children with her, and this is the and but she ends up coming back, and this is the Isha from this is the princess, the Ethiopian princess who was married to Moshe. Why? Where did all this come from? It comes because it says he married Isha Kushit, and Kush is not the same thing as Midian. Rashi, of course, what's Rashi going to say? Tzipora. Rashi's going to, you know, work with our theory of conservation of characters. At the end of Rashi, top of the next page, Ki Isha Kushit Lakach El Yishlomo Isha Na'e B'Yafya. Right? She She was beautiful in everything. And now he sent her away. But as I said, Rashi's assuming the same person. Ibn Ezra, so Ibn Ezra here, now he goes to, again, our theory of conservation of characters and says, it must be Tzorah, ki hi Midyanit, u Midyanim hem Yishma'ilim. Yeah? I think he means Arabs. I think that's what he means. Vehem darim ba'ohalim, Bedouin, if you will. Vehem darim ba'ohalim, vechein katuv yirgazun yirot eretz Midyan, vavur chom hashemesh einlim lavan klal. Because they live out in the desert, so therefore they get quite tanned, and therefore they look quite dark. That's what the Ibn Ezra says, that this is Midian. The Bechor Shor, Source 16, Lefi Apshat, Shoyu Omrim V'chilo Matza Moshe Isha Mibnot Yisrael Shechalo Isha Shalach Lekach Elo Mibnot HaKushim Shehim Arilim V'chi Bishvil Shekadosh Baruch Hu Medaber Imo Mitga'eh She'inu Rotzeh Lisa Isha Mibnot Yisrael Shebikesh Isha Bimircha. That Moshe has to marry, none of the Jewish girls were good enough for Moshe, he had to go so far away and marry one of them. Ki Isha Kushit Lekach Lefi Shalom Matzin Makom Acher She Moshe Lekach Isha Lukich Higil Lecha Katuv Ki Bevaday Isha Kushit Lekach V'al Tzipora Lo Dibru Shelo Aitam Yisrael. But they didn't have this complaint about Tzipora. Ki Az Anus Hayam Meshah Yaboreach V'lo Yechol Levo B'Mitzrayim B'toch B'nei Yisrael. So the Bechor Shor is telling you, pshat, this is a new wife. Moshe married Tzipora, then nobody complained. He didn't live among the Jews, they didn't have a choice. Now Moshe takes a second wife, and the second wife was a Kushit. And they say, what is this? None of them are good enough? So that's the approach of the Bechor Shor. 17, the Chizkuni, Alodot Isha Kushit, Malta Kushit Kemoshekatuv B'divrei Hayamim D'Moshe. So here he quotes something which is not part of the canon, not part of the scripture. There are stories and legends about Moshe traveling to different places, including going to Ethiopia and marrying the queen of Ethiopia, and that's what he refers to here. Ve'ein lefarsho al tzipora. He says, "Va'od harei tzipora lo ita kushit kikush mebnei Cham u'midian mebnei Keturah asher da'ala Avraham." So again, this point, this last point of the Chizkuni, I think is a wonderful point, because that's really what I was trying to hint at earlier, that being from Midian is not somebody who's considered to be cursed because they come from Bnei Cham. Kush is from Cham, and that's specifically where we find the cursed family. And on the other hand, Tzipora is from Midian, from Avram, and that's from Shem, and therefore you would not have the same types of objections. But as you see, there are some refershim that will take the approach, theory of conservation of characters, Moshe had one wife and therefore one father-in-law, and those who say no, Moshe had more than one. On the other hand, just because Moshe may have had another father-in-law, that did not help us with any of the identification regarding the various names of Yeter, Yitro, Chovav, or Ruel, because that is almost certainly either the same person or at least the same family. And therefore, as I said, we have two independent problems, and you can't use one to solve the other, at least in this instance. So, what were they getting? Why were they bothering us in terms of Shoftim? V'chever hakeni nifrad mikayin. Source 18. V'chever hakeni nifrad mikayin mibnei chovav chotein Moshe v'yet ohalo ad elon bitzananim asher et kedesh. The sister Nasparaglav el Ohel Yael Eshet Chaver Hakeni. So who's Chaver Hakeni? Who's Chaver Hakeni? He's from the family of Chovav. So therefore, before when he said, "No, I'm not coming," and Moshe begs again, so what do we end up finding later on down the line? What do we find later on down the line? That this family is living among the Jewish people. And a matter of fact, again, the famous story of Yael, who's the wife of Chever HaKeni. So who's HaKeni? This is coming from the family of Keni, maybe location, but over here it says very clearly, Mibnei Chovav Chotein Moshe. Ki Shalom Ben Yavin Melech Hatzor Ben Chever HaKeni. Look at the Ralbag. Vinei. זכר שחבר הקני היה נפרד מכן מבני חובב חותן משה שסיפר למעלה שישבו את יהודה במדבר יהודה ונטע אוהלו עד אלון בצננים אשר התקדש ויורה פועל יעל שמנהג חבר הקני היה כמנהג שר בני חובב לנהג בדת ישראל ולזה שתדלה יעל להרוג סיסרו. That they practiced either Judaism or something very, very close to it. That's very interesting. Because essentially the way that it's described as the Druze or Bedouin or the Druze who live in Israel today, by the way, we'll get some stronger descriptions as you move on. Let's look at source 20. V'yomer Moshe l'Chovav ben Reuel, Chovav hayashmo Reuel hayashmo. By the way, it's very hard to say that. She'nemar v'tzavon Reuel avihin. וכשם עומר וחבר הקני נפרד מכאן בבני חובב חותן משה חובב הישמו ולא ראו לישמו ומאת המלו ותבואו על ראו אבי המלמד שהתינוקות קוראים לאבי אבי עם אבא. So now we, again, that resolution we've seen a number of times that it was the grandfather. רב שמעון בן מנסיה עומר ראו אל הישמו ראה של כל שנאמר ויהוה אהרון וחוזק בני ישראל לאכול לחם חותן משה לפני האלוקים. They see this is somebody, he's not an idolater. Because he's an idolater, then how are you breaking bread with an idolater? No, he's somebody, Reuel is somebody who is a monotheist. Again, that's what I would understand from here. Rav Dusta Ayamar Kini Ayashmo, Veloma Nekra Shmo Kini, Shepirish Mimaseh Kini, Davar Shemekna'im Bo Lemakom, Shememar Kinoti Belo El. He's somebody who's jealous for God. Skip a little bit. Rav Yossi Ayamar Kini Ayashmo, Veloma Nekra Shmo Kini, Shekana Tashemayim Vata'aret Ve'et HaTorah. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosi Amar Ruel Yashmo v'lo mikra Shmo Ruel Shereah Lekel Shenemar Reacha V'Reah Avicha Al Tazov. Rav Shimon ben Yechaya Omer, Shnei Shemot Toya, Lo Chovev Yitro, Yeter Hashem Sheyater Pashachat B'Torah, Shnei Marvatav, and so on. Chovev, Hashem Shechivev Et Torah, Shalom Atzinu B'chol HaGerim, Shechivivu Et Torah Ki Yitro, U'Kishem Shechivev Yitro Et Torah, Kach Chivivu Banav Et Torah. So it's interesting. He loves the Torah. His descendants love the Torah. We're just not sure, did he actually convert or not? If we read a little bit further here, in the same source, Shenemar halocho beit harechavim v'diber elokim divrei Hashem horilo bayit ze atid licharev v'im oto ki'ilu hu charev achshav u'bito lo tivnu v'zare lo tizru v'nishba b'kol yonadav v'neshev ba'olim v'nishma v'na'as k'chol asher tzivanu yonadav avinu v'al sheshamu l'mitzvat yonadav avi em yamid mehem ha'makom sofrim shenemar u'mishpachat sofrim l'shrev ya'avid tzara ומשפחת צופים יושבי ויעבץ תרעתים שמעתים משוחותים הם הכינים הבאים מחמת אבי בית רכב. תרעתים על שם ששמו תורה בהר סיני. This Yonadav, who by the way the Mormons as well think is quite important, so it's really interesting that the Druze connect to Yitro and the Mormons connect to somebody else who's from Yonadav, who this Midrash is telling us is from the same family. One of the things that we see here is that the instructions that he gave to his descendants was not to build homes, rather to live in tents. The Beit HaMikdash will one day be destroyed. How can you have a permanent home? Therefore you should live in tents as well. If you read a little bit later on in this same source, ובני קיני חותן משה עלו מעיר התמרים, ומניין שבניו של יונדב בן רחב, הן בניו של יתרו. So now you see this Yonadav is from the same family. שנאמר הם הכינים הבאים מחמת אבי בית רחב בן מאסחר נטלו על כך, ולבית הרחבים אמר ירמיהו, כאמר השם צבקות אלוקי ישראל, יען השם שמעתם על מצוות יונדב אביכם, לא יכרת איש לנדב בן רחב עומד לפני כל ימים. וישוע אומר, וכי גרים נכנסים להיכל, ולא כל ישראל נכנסו להיכל, אלו שהיו יושבים בסנהדרין, ומורים בדברי תורה. ויש אומרים, מבנותיהם נשואות לכהנים, והיו מבני בניהם הקריבים אגבי מזבח, ודברים קל וחומר, ומה אלו שקרבו את עצמם, כך קרבם במקום אשר שאום את התורה הלך את כמה וכמה. So I just want to pause a second because we just now jumped to multiple opinions what happened over here. One opinion that this started with is that these people were people who were monotheists, who accepted God, loved the Torah, loved the Torah, they loved the Torah, but whether or not they actually ever converted is not exactly clear. Yael, who goes and helps the Jews win a battle, is because she's from this family and she's dedicated to the Jews, just like Yitro and Chovav and all. These are people who become, again, the Druze are a people, at least the Druze who live in Israel, who are very, very dedicated. They join the army, as I said, they're the trackers. And the fact that they see themselves as descendants of Yitro, Yulenu Le'inayim, I think is absolutely fascinating. But here we see throughout history that they are there, they're there on the peripheral, and they are connected. On the other hand, we find in the Midrash a much stronger statement that perhaps some or all end up converting. To what extent do they convert? They end up becoming people who are part of the Jewish people to the extent that they sit on the Sanhedrin, which, hold it, where did that come from? Perhaps it comes all the way back to Yitro, suggesting to Moshe to be able to dedicate, which really is the precursor of having a Sanhedrin instead of a one-man religious leadership. So here you have this wonderful poetic justice that therefore the descendants of such a person end up sitting on the Sanhedrin, and you have not only that, that he is somebody who's a Kohen Midyan, so what's the schar that he ends up joining with the Jewish people? His descendants, A, marry Moshe, but also his descendants end up marrying Kohanim and having children themselves who end up working in the Beit HaMikdash. Along the way, there was this, again, idea that is, I didn't go into it enough, that they chose to live in tents, they would not live in homes, and they lived around different places over here, and they were essentially the Bedouin who lived here during the time of the leading up to the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, as I said, in this long Sifri that we read, there were multiple opinions, and we don't have to put them all together. So just to conclude, our theory of conservation of characters, we started with trying to figure out who Yitro Chavav Ru'el is, and I think we pretty much got to an understanding, but now we find that later on in history, that the children of Chavav are, again, also now connected, and it's the behavior that we find later on, Chazal also want to connect it to the character of what we find by Yitro, who is seen in the most positive way. But again, to answer our question I raised earlier, so does he end up, when Moshe says, no, please come with us, does he end up listening? Apparently, according to the Navi, he does, and ends up saving the day for us along the way, as I said, with Yael later on, joining in terms of even the Sanhedrin and even having children who work in Beit HaMikdash.